Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
Against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up, what up? Welcome back to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name is Nick Engvall, and tonight I'm here with my guy, Mike Guillory. What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
Oh, man, I am doing good, Nick, man. Just here reading some of these crazy stories we're going to go over today, man. And it's a couple crazy things I'm ready to talk about with you.
Yeah, man. So before we get into that, I guess, political stuff, just wanted to, as we always do, shout out, let's see who we got. C. Michio left us a review on iTunes. We just appreciate anybody that takes the time to leave us a review. It's really the only way we can grow the podcast and get to a new audience and, you know, just get feedback from you guys. Obviously, if you don't have time to leave us a review on iTunes, shoot us a tweet. Leave us a comment on Instagram, DM us, whatever. Like, just, we want to hear your feedback. We want to know what you want to hear. And if you didn't check it out earlier in this week, we actually did an interview, Robbie, who's not with us tonight, but did an interview with the guys from Colorways about an event that's going on in Portland, over the holiday weekend. So definitely check that out. News wise, we wanted to talk about good old Kanye West and, I don't know, like his, I don't want to say he's colorblind because I'm partially colorblind, so that would be really, just really bad. But I think that he doesn't have much variety to his color palette, so to speak. And we've got a couple new colorways that are supposed to be coming out in September that look awfully similar to what we've already seen. What do you think about these, man?
Yeah, he really likes the color tan and the colors that were related to it. I think that's, besides the 350 just being a bit too simple for me, I think that may be one of the reasons I just haven't really pulled the trigger on them, because I know they sell out pretty quickly. But I feel like if I missed out on one tan one, there's going to be three more that come out eventually. And, you know, at that point, if I feel like the urge, hey, you know, I want a 350 today just for the heck of it, like I can get it, and but there's just no variety. I respect everything, like all his shoes and what he's done with Adidas, but I want to see some more of Kanye in his shoe. Like, let's get some of those graduation like color vibes on these shoes. I mean, let's do something just like some of, like, he loves art. Let's see some of the art in the colors in these shoes. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I think it's it's really interesting to me, and I'm going to either sound really fashionably ignorant right now or just old school, but it's almost like if you had, you know, I mean, you probably see this a ton in Houston. If Houston is the way it was when I lived down in Texas, Houston used to be like everything matching Air Force Ones to fitteds, right? Like,
head to toe, man.
Know, okay, you might throw in a polo. You might be wearing a t-shirt, a long t-shirt, right? But otherwise, the fits are pretty much standardized. And normally those colors are pretty bold, pretty bright, and very, you know, very much like primary colors, in my opinion. And like my style, if I would even dare to call it that, is very much that same approach, right? It's like, you know, I wore Reebok Questions, some 76ers, you know, shorts today and a black and red t-shirt. And, you know, so it's basically looked like a Philadelphia 76ers billboard. But, you know, that's the same thing for everything for me. Like I tend to keep, you know, my sneakers fairly close to whatever fitted I'm going to wear, or maybe potentially like a t-shirt or polo or something like that. And then I'm usually wearing like Dickies. Shout out to Dickies. If you want to sponsor the podcast, hit us up.
Boom.
But, it's kind of funny because that used to be like so much the, you know, the go-to for a lot of people. And then Kanye came along and he was that early on, right? The backpack rapper days were, you know, pop tongues on his Jordans, matching polo, and, you know, a you know, some form of like, you know, crazy Bape hat that matched his shoes. Like it was a very, you know, continuous thing in his style. And as he evolved into like the stuff now, it's really interesting because it's really, really close to the same. And there's not that much variation in, say, his apparel, where, you know, it's the same kind of dark grays, blacks, dark browns, tans, you know, some yellows, but those are all the shoes. Yeah. And like, it might be, you know, off by two or three spots on the color wheel is all. And it's crazy to me that they're still doing the same thing. To his credit, though, like the V2 seems to still sell out for the most part. I mean, the 700 seems to sit at a lot of the retailers, but you know, the I don't know, Yeezy Boost, the 350 V2 is still seems to be a pretty good seller, even with the same colors.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely moves units. And for people who talk about, oh, it doesn't retail well, that doesn't matter to Kanye and Adidas. It sold retail. So when it sells out, he's done. He can give a crap of what you guys are doing in the retail market, because he's done his job. He sold out his units. He's made his mark on to the next beige one. But, you know, just like you, Nick, like my style is literally, when I'm, you know, on my free time, it's black, using Nike running shorts, some variation color of t-shirt, one of my, you know, black or gray, like, bad hats. And I like to have my shoes that kind of, you know, speak for me. Like, I don't really wear this color shoe. I love the color Sail, like, on certain colors, like, certain model shoes, like Jordan 1s in a Sail color. Mm-hmm. They look great. Because they speak for, you know, they you can see them like, oh, you know what that is. And I feel like a lot of times with the V2s, they're so understated that they get to do so much more to, I don't know. Maybe I'm just speaking crazy, but they just don't do it for me. I don't mind sock sneakers, like Ultra Boost and sock darts, but these just don't, I don't know, speak to me creatively, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that. I think that, you know, I like the idea of your shoes just popping off like crazy, right? I'm all for, you know, Volt or Neon or whatever, you know, variation of that, the company that you're wanting to rock sells, right? And I love the way that looks with, you know, an all black, you know, outfit. And I think that Kanye's stuff with the V2, it's like, with a few exceptions, it's never been that for me. And that's where I feel like it's missed the mark. I actually think the style of the shoe looks a little dated now, but I don't necessarily think it's like so far off that I wouldn't wear it. And obviously, like, you know, if most of that Boost stuff from Adidas is pretty comfortable, as long as the, you know, the collar isn't cutting into your foot, cause everybody's shaped differently. So sometimes, you know, people will say, oh, that's the most comfortable shoe ever. And it's like, that's not for everyone.
yeah.
So I don't know. It's really interesting though. I think, like, you know, for them to continue with the V2 more colorways is definitely going to put the resale market in a interesting spot the further it goes, because that's kind of where we're at with like the 700, right? It's already past its point of like full on hype to where everybody's buying it to resell. You're seeing it sell for below, you know, retail on a lot of the secondary markets platforms. And I also don't like, I don't like knock Adidas or Yeezy for, or Kanye for doing that with the Yeezy for the V2, because it works with the 700. You may as well just ride it out until it's not reselling, yeah. Right? Like you said, it's, exactly. it's money in the bank for them. Every time they release new colorways, you may as well test to see how far around the color wheel you can go.
Man, yeah. So I'll give him this before I convince myself that he just does these particular colorways. He does every so often get a little crazy. You have the zebras, you have the glows, you have the my frozen yellow. So he gets out there every so often. So okay, I just want to see more of that, because I mean, clearly those three colorways I mentioned, besides the reflective Vanta or reflective black, those are the three most sought after colorways because of, you know, that pop. So maybe there's a plan to that. Like, we're gonna release earth tone, pop a color, get very popular, back to earth tone to build the hype again.
Yeah, it's funny. Just this week, I actually was down in Long Beach and I talked to the guys at Proper in Long Beach about the Yeezy stuff, about Ultra Boost, kind of just like feeling out like how they felt about the marketplace right now. And one of the things that I think I always overlook with Kanye, because I've never had a chance to get them, they're just gone all the time. When he throws like 3M on stuff, to me, that's, you know, like as we were talking about when I was down there, like that's something that really draws people in, even to potentially like an older silhouette. You know, if we were talking about, if you re-released any more Ultra Boost, could any of them sell? And it's like, really the only ones that might be able to sell are those like full 3M ones, where there's so much pop to them that people, I don't know what it is about that. It's just like, it's just one of those like over the top details that people love about sneakers, in my opinion. So
yeah.
Yeah,
it's always going to be there. Always dope.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it continues to roll, you know, working in everybody's favor, because I think obviously Yeezys have been good for the business as a whole. So, I don't know. Was there any other news stuff that you saw this week that we should touch on?
Yeah, sticking with the same brand, Adidas. Actually, this one kind of sucks. Because this wasn't anything Adidas did wrong. This is, looks like it was more of a UK issue. But so Adidas was doing this whole Twitter promotion, just kind of premiering the new Arsenal kit that they're going to be doing for the upcoming season. And to promote the jerseys, they were going ahead and people who would tweet to Adidas, they would send them back a tweet, like an automatic tweet that would put the name on the back of one of these new kits, which is super cool. Like they're involving people, and that's what everybody wants on social media. They want to be involved, but you have those few clowns out there taking advantage to make it something negative, and they were putting like really just like racist, like anti-Semitic messages as their Twitter name for the time being, so that they could go ahead and see like Adidas put this ridiculous name on the back of a jersey and they're sharing it where all can see. And because this is an automatic thing Adidas was doing, they weren't just checking it. There was nobody there just looking at each tweet, and there ended up being handfuls of tweets that were just not cool, to say the least. So, and then of course Adidas is under fire for, I guess, not being able to check through all these tweets. But I mean, Adidas thought they were doing something cool for their fan base, for the Arsenal fan base, and now they're getting flack for a bunch of jokers out here who don't know to act. So I think it's silly. I don't think this is on Adidas. I think this is on, you know, those people who are acting tough behind the keys, behind the internet, and one thinks this kind of stuff is funny.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I mean, so just to kind of put it into context, like, basically, Adidas had an automated system set up where you could essentially create your own jerseys, and and it would throw your handle, your Twitter handle on a jersey. So you had, the one that pops up on CNN that's, probably the least of the horrible, but all of them are just like terrible. One of them was like at innocent Hitler. And
yeah,
so, it basically mocks up a new, a new jersey and like pops out, here's where you buy it, link to the Adidas site. And then it does like a picture kind of a, just a, like a drafted, automated, like here's the handle on the back of the jersey, I think, you're absolutely right. It's just ridiculous that, that people go this far to like push their hate out into the world. And I think it's challenging with social media, because you want to do all these cool things. And in theory, this is one of those things that's really awesome. Right. And to be able to turn that around, like I'm lucky enough to have been a part of, events and have relationships with people at brands where I could go to an event and I have product that has my handle on it. That is not something that everybody gets to do. And it's not something that everybody's going to do. Nobody's not necessarily going to spend the money to do that for themselves. But if you're gifted something by a brand or, whatever, it's a really cool feeling. And like, I see this and I think, damn, that's cool, because it allows people that might not get those opportunities to really get that same feeling of bring in your passion for the team together with, Twitter or Instagram or social media, whatever, because that's really what a lot of sports has become. It's for me, watching basketball, watching the NBA or, the tournament, the NCAA tournament is, like 2-3 levels up when I'm able to just hang out on Twitter and do that at the same time, because the kind of just like off the cuff conversations and, reactions and responses and just, it enhances the experience of sports in general to me, if you're not physically there watching in person. And this is one of those things where I feel like Adidas really could have had a huge success by doing this, because it allowed people to do something cool that they probably would never see otherwise. And it's just, it's one of those things where brands have to be over the top careful to see what come to make sure that this kind of stuff can't happen. Right. And it's really hard, because, you want to, one of the things that I always admired about eBay back in the day is that they always encourage people to, believe that there's more good in the world than bad. And that was the whole kind of, one of their kind of founding principles of like, you are buying, and we're talking about a completely different time, right? You didn't have everyone on the internet, and yet they built a business where you're buying from somebody else that you don't know. And it was, I think I said it in the last week or so on the podcast, is like, as much as like there's a lot of negative stuff in the world, I think that there's exponentially more positive stuff and more good things than the internet leads us to believe. And I don't say that to dismiss bad things, because I think this is, I look at this and I think it's terrible. It's a huge learning experience for Adidas and the people that worked on the project. Hopefully they get the chance to redeem themselves in a professional environment, to like say, cool, like this was a terrible mistake. The next time we do something similar to this or anything, the next project we work on, we're going to take 2 or 3 extra steps to ensure that this kind of stuff can't happen, because that's all you really can do. And honestly, I feel like that's what the internet has become. It's like, there's so many people out there waiting to just jump on the negative opportunities that we just need to all be more positive and support each other in doing good things, because clearly there's more people that just want to have a team jersey with their name on it, with their handle on it, than, than some offensive thing, right? Like, who, you know, there's plenty of people. I mean, there's millions of people that support Arsenal. So, you know, you got to believe that not all of those people are bad. So it's not on Adidas, but it's definitely just something that hopefully shines a light on to the business side of things to put, you know, those safety nets in place to make sure that these kind of things don't happen again.
Yeah, I can see there definitely be some more checks and balances next time they do something like this, just to, you know, catch those bad apples before these things kind of get out. But, man, I just hope, like, this is the reason that I feel like a lot of times that when people reach out, you know, directly to brands, that's why you don't really get many responses back, because they're trying to make sure they're not getting themselves into any kind of nonsense like this. So, I mean, if people want brands to reach out to them and, you know, respond back to things they have to say to be involved in the conversation, I mean, we can't control everybody, clearly. And it's always, again, just like you said, Nick, there is definitely more good out there than bad, but just the light has always shined on the bad people, like in a sense of this. And if we want to be involved in the conversation with these brands, we just got to make sure we control ourselves and not get crazy with the Twitter fingers and just pump the brakes before you think about saying something stupid in person or online. So yeah, that's what I got to say on that.
No, I agree. My income comes from like consulting and like working with companies to try to avoid these kind of things. And it's not that I'm like any better than anybody else. It's just that I've had a lot of experience working with companies on projects similar to this, where we've already seen those kind of things. And a lot of what happens in, you know, this industry, the footwear industry, and like it becomes a responsibility of kind of the youngest people coming in to the business to work on these cool projects, because they get excited about it, they want to run with it, they're passionate about it, they're excited because maybe they're an Arsenal fan, or maybe this is the first time they've seen this done and they're like, yes, let's go. And a lot of times that's where, like, you know, like just having that like extra set of eyes or extra opinion on things. Honestly, like it's worked out for me really well, because I support businesses in this way by like helping them plan these things out and think of these things. So, but not to like go off too much on a tangent there, but I just think that there's a really interesting kind of trend in business. And, the next story that we wanted to talk about actually is almost the same thing. So, obviously, with Independence Day, you know, Nike has traditionally made some form of Independence Day shoe for the past, I don't know, seems like 10, 15 years or something. So this year they made an Air Max 1. It had the, what would be called the Betsy Ross flag, the original flag of the United States that had 13 colonies. You know, it's obviously, there's a lot of sensitivity around things like this right now, specifically because, you know, tensions are just high in the United States around everything that could possibly be, you know, taken as racist or racially insensitive. And this is one of those situations where I think if Nike had just pushed it through a few more people to talk through, like, hey, does this offend you? You know, you could avoid having this. But basically what happened is, you know, they planned out the shoe. It had the, you know, flag with the 13 stars in a circle, which is, I don't even remember the years, but like, you know, you learn about it in, you know, grade school or something. So the shoe has a flag on the back. It's red, you know, red, white, and blue accented. And Colin Kaepernick basically called them out and said, like, this shoe shouldn't release. You know, he was definitely not the only one. It was all over social media when those first pictures popped up. It was like, obviously, like, I thought Nike would have pulled it even sooner than they did. But what's interesting is it's become like a huge thing again. And, you know, when Kaepernick's ad came out, it was, you know, what, September, probably 2018. super inspiring to me. And and for me, it was like I got goosebumps. I was like excited about it, regardless of, you know, your political beliefs. I think that, you know, it was really well done. And people looked at it as like, this is a risk for Nike to align with Colin Kaepernick. And I don't really think that way, but you know, you see a bunch of people burn their Nikes on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, all these places. And it's like, well, that just, to me, it doesn't make any sense, but basically we're back again.
They already got your money.
you're burning your own thing. Like, it's one thing if you want to like, you know, turn it into like the shoes you mow the lawn in or whatever, like at least, you know, you're not just, I don't know. I get that people want to like show their outrage and all that stuff on both sides of these things too. But to me, it's just like, it's not that big of a deal to either way, like to just like ruin your own thing, your own, you know, product or something you paid for just seems so ignorant to me. And it, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get too far down that tangent, but I think with this particular situation was interesting to me is, you had a lot of like politicians come out and like the governor or whatever of Arizona, the state of Arizona, where Nike's planning to open another factory. The governor basically is trying to pull their, you know, incentives and grants that they had $1 million, whatever, and say that Nike shouldn't even produce shoes in Arizona, whatever. And it's become this like political thing. You had like people, you know, saying they're never going to wear Nikes again, even politicians. You know, and to me, it's just like, why care? Why do you care? Like, nobody walks.
More important things.
Well, here's my point. Nobody walks around wearing the old like Betsy Ross American flag. Like, like, it's one thing. Like, and this is a slippery slope, but like, there's plenty of people that I don't have the same political or racial beliefs system of that wear like the Confederate flag in order to incite violence or incite other people's reactions, right? They just want to get a rise out of people. They want to start problems. The Betsy Ross flag doesn't do that to me, but I also understand that it's not something that I ever dealt with as a child, right? It was such a small piece of my learning as a child that I don't really care about it. So it wasn't like I was like offended by it, but I just didn't think about it. And I don't like, and maybe that's insensitive on my part, but what I find interesting is that you have all these people that are like supposedly outraged and burning their Nikes because of this old flag that was used hundreds of years ago or whatever, that nobody, like, it's not like you see it anywhere. It was honestly a terrible decision from a marketing perspective for Nike to even put that on the shoe, because nobody cares about that flag. In my opinion, maybe that makes me, you know, anti-patriotic or something, but like to me, like America is the 50 states and it is about now and about getting to this point. And it's not about living in the past from 100 some odd years ago when this flag was actually created. And I totally don't care if it's taken off the market. So why would you be upset that it's taken off the market? It's like you're offended that something is taken off the market when it didn't have any impact on you anyway. The actual, like, you know, it's one thing like the Confederate flag on a shoe would probably piss off me and a lot of people, because it's like we're trying to move past this. Like, this is stuff that we're not proud of for the most part. And I get that some people believe otherwise, and that's your prerogative. but like, this is even further beyond. It's like being like next thing you know, somebody's going to be offended because like whatever Christopher Columbus like image on a, you know, like on the sneaker tongue for a collab inspired by the, you know, whatever. And they're going to be like, Christopher Columbus, I can't buy Nike because they don't put Christopher Columbus on a shoe. Man, Christopher Columbus doesn't wear Nikes. Like, Nike hasn't been around that long. It doesn't matter. You're getting offended about stuff that's so lame. I cannot understand it. And for me, like, if somebody takes offense to something like Colin Kaepernick or whomever is offended by that shoe, then that's okay. Like, just take it off the market. Let's move past it. We don't have to make a big deal about it. But for some reason, this is the one that's like, and I just feel like it's a bunch of people that said they were going to boycott Nike in 2018. now saying it again. And I'm like, wait, hold on. You were going to, you already boycotted Nike, right?
Did you come back? Did you come back? We didn't know.
Did you slide in the back door and like not tell anybody that you're wearing Air Maxes again?
Because I bought a new pair of Monarchs. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Yeah, Monarchs. That's what it is too. Yeah. But I don't know, man. Like, I mean, what, so this is just my perspective. Obviously, like I kind of lean completely one direction on a lot of this stuff because I feel like on top of me being very, very, I don't know if liberal is the right word, but like, I feel like growing up in California, I've always lived in neighborhoods where I was not the majority. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I love that. Like, I have so many different people in my life that help shape me. And it's also made me very relaxed about a lot of this stuff. And I don't want to come across as like not as insensitive to this stuff. But I just look at it and think like we get upset about the wrong things, you know, like let's move past it and turn it into something positive. Not saying to turn this shoe specifically into something positive, but hey, you made a mistake, you stopped it. Let's turn it around and do something that helps either educate people on that story or educate people on why people are offended rather than people just seeing that Nike canceled something and now they're fake offended, even though they weren't buying Nikes to begin with. But I also want to know your opinion, obviously being a black man and living in, you know, the South, like it's a much different climate. And that was something that it was just something that I learned living there, you know, in Austin, which is still Austin's, you know, the weird
capital. This is all world, man.
Yeah. Right. It's like, it's not Texas the way Texas is traditionally, you know, viewed as, right? But I also think that, you know, you coming from Houston and living in Houston and having this, Houston's like a crazy diverse city too. And that's one of the things I loved about it when I was down there. But like, what do you think about this whole thing?
And so I say this first, I saw the shoe and just like you, I really hadn't seen that flag since maybe high school. Like, I didn't even think about it. I'm like, oh, the old flag. Cool. I don't like them personally. I wasn't going to buy them because I didn't really rock with that shoe like that. But when I, you know, heard they canceled, I was like, well, okay. Wonder what's going on. I read up on it. And I can see in today's racial climate, I can understand the point of the, oh, okay, well, this flag represents a part of our country where slavery still ran rampant. So I'm like, okay, well, okay, I can understand why this might have been a marketing mistake. We should just put a normal flag in it like we normally do to show where we are now. Just like you said, let's look at our present and our future as opposed to keep going backwards. So, okay, I see what that is. And I just thought it was weird that when the cancellation came, it was, I don't think it was, Nike didn't publish it, but someone else came and I was like, oh, Colin Kaepernick was the reason they got canceled. I'm like, who cares who was the person who spoke up and said, so like, what did it matter? Like, if Colin Kaepernick never would have had that commercial and never would have had that whole advertisement run, they wouldn't have said, like, people wouldn't have like inserted his name into this discussion. It would be like, Nike canceled the shoe, didn't mean to be insensitive. That's it. But people with different beliefs, political beliefs, they are really like, they're really triggered by Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, because of his silent protesting and kneeling on the football field and so on and so forth. So they get really triggered. And only thing I will like, I'm not going to go down a political black hole that we'll never get out of. I want people, when they talk about the shoe, like everyone who's trying to come by, you know, double back and boycott Nike again, even though they should have been still boycotting, are talking about, they're trying to like use the military as a scapegoat. Like, oh, you're disrespecting the military and because you're disrespecting the flag. It's like, no one mentioned the military at all. They just said this flag represented a time in history that just wasn't so awesome for the U.S. and for, you know, people of color in the United States. So I laugh because, yeah, it's like, guys, these shoes, you weren't gonna buy them anyway. Flag or not, you were not gonna buy them. Not one of the people who were talking about boycotting and being upset about the shoe not releasing, they weren't going to buy their shoe anyway.
Yeah.
Like, they wasn't on their radar. They weren't, like, on sneakers that, like, yeah, man, that new Air Max is coming out. I gotta hit. That wasn't a part of their Saturday. It blows my mind because at this point, I'm cool. I get blown away reading, like, the Twitter comments and seeing the videos of these people who are just adamant that you're not American if you don't like this, if you think this shoe should be off the market. I'm like, Mom, I'm American. I just don't care about this shoe.
Yeah.
Only reason I care about it is because I could have made $2,500 if I would have got a pair of back doors somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting an interesting thing about the whole market too, right? I mean, I saw that StockX, the new CEO, came out and tweeted that they weren't going to have the shoe on the platform anymore, which was really interesting because, you know, a lot of times the whole scarcity thing helps the resale of this stuff. And, I don't have really an opinion one way or the other for their business to have the shoe on the platform or not. Because I think that this kind of stuff exists in sneakers all the time. We're almost used to seeing this. Maybe not as like racially insensitive and like maybe triggering for people. But I also think, you know, to your point, we're kind of in a weird spot where people are just like super, you know, trigger happy to like ready to go off on anything at any moment. And so it's just interesting to see that from, you know, for the secondary market and what that could potentially mean. But I looked up the flag on Wikipedia. Like, we haven't used that flag as a country since 1795. So 1777 to 1795, that was one of the flags that we used. And ever since then, we've had obviously more states, more, you know, like obviously a completely different, you know, it's the same flag in a sense, but like we've grown past this literally 200 some years ago or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or 100, you know, 100 and some years. I don't know what that is. I can't do math today. 203, what is it? We're in 2019? Man, time flies. But we still got to be mad about 1777, right? So,
man, we just got to let it go. Let it go. Move on.
Yeah, it's so funny. But I wanted to touch on the Colin Kaepernick thing because you made a great point where I think people are just offended by it for you know, I can understand. I can't relate to your frustration if you're pissed that Colin Kaepernick kneels, but I can understand that you might have a different opinion. But the fact that that these people would like go to such crazy extents to, you know, try to like prove their point about something like this that is so far off from, you know, probably the truth about even how it came out. Like you said, it was reported by TMZ that Kaepernick had something to do with it. But meanwhile, like the last shoe that could have been a real problem for Nike, you know, Rebecca, the intern in the art department, was like, hey, we shouldn't do this. And it stopped and nobody cares about it, right? Because it didn't, you know, like, but now because it's Colin Kaepernick, you know, oh, we're offended about everything. And I just think that it is unfortunate that it got to this point. It's both politically and in the sneaker world for Nike. Hopefully they can, you know, add another safety, you know, checkpoint before product goes out. Because if this offends people on Twitter, then you could have asked somebody in the building that could have said, yeah, even if it's just a little bit questionable, we probably shouldn't have run with it, right? And I think that's something that, you know, businesses, kind of going back to the Adidas conversation too, like businesses really need to step that up, make sure that, you know, everyone is included in these decision-making processes, because it's not always about just the top person in the chain of command. It's about the people that are working for that company. And in most companies that I've worked for, that means potentially 50, 100 different people having a different opinion on something. And if it avoids you doing something like this as a brand, then it can never hurt, right? This is the only thing, this is the type of thing that's going to hurt. But one thing I wanted to point out about the whole debacle was I found it really interesting that a lot of the traditional news platforms like Mashable, CNN, I forget the other ones that I noticed it on, but those types of sites where they're not really connected to the sneaker world, but they're just a more of a mainstream news or a mainstream, you know, outlet. A lot of them were reporting about Nike being down like 1%, 2%, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
The day that they announced it. And I don't know what it is right now, but I was looking at it this morning and they were up like 2%. So I just think like we made as a society, we make fake news out of all these things where it really didn't need to be as big of a deal as it is. And it's unfortunate because for one, like, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just crazy how insane people are and like how much energy they're willing to put out to just like be offended or be like, you could take that and turn it into something good. And I don't even know how to keep going down this conversation because I just get so bummed about the fact that people have to worry about this kind of stuff. And from, you know, me coming from like, you know, doing my own thing, having a small business and trying to understand and like work with a ton of different people and it almost is intimidating to even think about doing your own thing because you don't want to offend anybody. And I hate that has even like popped into my head in this conversation, but I can't imagine, you know, somebody that's, you know, like me at 18, like I'm not by any means anywhere near the kind of right side of things in a lot of life. But I just would be like, so I would not want to offend anybody so much that it would inhibit like even creativity to a certain extent. And not that like, I think like a lot of people, I hope that a lot of people that are growing up right now are able to just move past that. And like, we're able to move past it as a society. And I don't want to like dismiss the things that we need to deal with because like us, like America has like hundreds of years of problems that we have just swept under the rug and not dealt with. And we continue to deal with them in the most like loud, over the top ways, because that's the way we chose to deal with them as a country. But I worry about like the young creatives and what, you know, people want to do with their lives and trying to figure it out, because I just think of like the way it could potentially affect how they approach, you know, their creativity or starting their own businesses and all that stuff. So I don't know.
I mean, you hit it right on the head, because it's funny because now this is the age where people can literally do whatever they want, you know, in a sense of like their creativity, they can do whatever they want. The means are out there. Like your phone can do literally anything. It's a walking computer. You have all this accessibility and all the means, but you make one false step, it can be the end of your company. It can be the end of your career because of, you know, something. I think instead of everyone being in a rush to put something out, everyone, like when these things come out, you should just take a step back and be a little bit thoughtful. Like, all right, let's get a group of diverse people in here, not just black, white, but let's get the whole spectrum in here of like, this is where our customer base is. This is what we talk about a customer base being. Let's have each of these people look at this product and just make sure. So like, make sure it doesn't offend anybody. I'm not saying everyone should be extra sensitive about things, but for a company, put yourself in a position where you're not in the news for something silly. Because I mean, not to switch gears too far, but we not too long ago, maybe 7 days ago, heard about Adidas and, you know, how they talk about diversity in their ads, but just saying, you know, it's a whole different story inside the, you know, the workplace. You should just, people in charge of everything, take a step back, think about who you're trying to sell to, think about what you're trying to promote, and be okay with getting that focus group of multiple races and just seeing how it checks out. What is the consensus? What are the thoughts? I think it's okay to find out what someone thinks about something. No one's going to beat you to a bunch. I don't know if Nike's like, hey, we got to get this out. Someone's going to beat us to this flag shoe. Man, everyone put a flag shoe out 4th of July. It is what it is. It's been like that for like 15 years. It wouldn't have hurt just to get one more check to make sure that this was okay, which would in turn have prevented somebody leaking the story to TMZ and Colin Kaepernick did it. I mean, there's just so many little things you can do as a ginormous company to prevent things like this. And then, which again, sets up this firestorm or just dumbness over Twitter. There's some better things we can be putting this energy towards.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think too, like for me, you know, I just want to put it out there for everybody that's listening. I'm down to have conversations about this with anybody. If you want to talk about it, I think that we're in a really tough spot for people because the perception is that everybody's going to be offended if you have a different opinion. And I think the differing opinions are okay. It's the fact that we've decided to kind of address them on Twitter rather than address them with the people that we have a differing opinion on. And, you know, like you can talk through differences and learn about other people and other cultures and other races and other experiences. And that helps you become a better person, in my opinion. And I say that for everyone, like not just like, you know, one person or another, but like we all can benefit from learning from each other. And I know this is like a little bit too far down the rabbit hole and we're a little bit off from sneakers, but I think it's important to be able to find people that you're willing to talk to about these things. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you just want to like hit me up and ask questions about this kind of stuff, I'm more than happy to like have a conversation with you about it and help you work through those kind of things. And I think that, you know, for me, as much as like this podcast will be always about sneakers because it's sneaker history and this is one of my passions. But at the end of the day, like I realize that sneakers have little to do with anything other than a reason for me to connect with people that I've become friends with and love and support. And that's to me the most important thing. And I hope that that's what we can always kind of keep this podcast as, is something that takes it further than just sneakers, and we can build relationships and build a community that really just gets to like enjoy life with each other through the lens of sneakers and talking about sneakers. So.
Yep. I agree. And I'm same way, man. You guys ever want to just hit us up about like these kind of things that go deeper in the conversation? We're good about responding to our social media, to our email. So hit us up, man. We're glad to talk to you guys. And you listen to us, so we definitely listen to you guys.
Yeah, man. That said, you know, if you do have anything, obviously hit us up. We love having conversations with you guys. We appreciate that you're taking the time to listen and support the podcast, because honestly, we like talking about sneakers and about all of these things around the sneaker world that kind of impact our daily lives in one way, shape, or another. So wrapping it up, you know, like I just wanted to ask if there was anything on your radar for the weekend. It seems like a light weekend as far as releases go, but I don't know. Anything out there for you, Mike?
Man, you know what? I have nothing in particular I'm looking for. Only thing, next time you guys hear from me, I'll have officially left my 20s. So that's the only exciting thing happening for me. And no sneakers on my radar. I'm just getting a year old.
Hey, so happy early birthday. And
oh, thank you.
And yeah, I don't know. It seems like a pretty light weekend. I was excited to see, you know, maybe some those potentially new Atmos Air Max ones, and there was some interesting Ultra Boost, but nothing that I'm actually looking forward to buying that I can think of. which I'm actually thankful for that because
you and me both. I'm like, thank you, God.
The bank account could use a vacation too.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, my name is Nick Engvall. You can follow me on all platforms at Nick Engvall, NickEngvall. And more importantly, just follow at Sneaker History and let us know what you're feeling in the sneaker world right now, how you feel about these trying times, so to speak, with Adidas and Nike. Mike, let them know how they can find you.
Yep. Find me always on Sneaker History. But on other platforms, you can find me under Mad Watcher 789. Guys, again, feel free to hit us up, leave comments, leave questions. We will get to them. You know, we're good about it. We love hearing from you. So please and thank you. We appreciate all you guys.
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks all for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
See ya.
What up, y'all? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I want to ask a few favors of you. First off, if you're still listening, I wanted to thank you for supporting us and continuing to listen to our podcast. If you're enjoying it, and I'm going to assume that you do if you're listening this long, please take a couple of minutes, head over to iTunes, drop us a review, leave a comment, make sure you're subscribed. It's the only way that we can really continue to grow our audience and reach new people and continue to grow the podcast. The second thing is, if you haven't already, head over to sneakerhistory.com/shop. You can pick up t-shirts, coffee mugs, stickers, and some other miscellaneous things. And all of these things go to help us continue this podcast, to continue the site, and just pay for miscellaneous expenses that come up. We're not trying to make a killing off of it, but it would be awesome to have your support. And who knows, maybe run into one of you on the streets one day rocking a Sneaker History t-shirt. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time. Peace. Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly 2 decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.